Oh, damn, I needed to get the freaking Moon Knight this week, and I totally forgot.
Moon Knight was cool. Moon Knight
was cool. I didn't get it. I know we talked about it on the podcast, and how I sucked and didn't get it. Am I projecting enough, Larry?
Classic.
How am I projecting?
But, Karnak, it's solid and everything, but, like...
Are we talking lower for a reason?
No.
Oh, what?
You seem like you're talking a little lower, like we're in a cave or a funeral or something.
Should I talk
louder? We just don't want to stress the mic.
We don't want to stress the mic. It's Jules' mic.
Okay, should I speak up or...
Yeah, speak up.
Okay, fine. Well,
you should speak up by just reaching up and smacking the microphone.
Okay. Well, Steve, kill him.
What?
How do you want it done?
How do you want it done, sir?
Surprise me.
Okay. Oh, surprise me.
So that means I can go get the little tube I created with the little bitty blades
in it. The important thing is that he needs to get killed right now.
No, I'm fine.
No,
I'm fine. I'm
you gotta
good.
Take your time with a kill.
Dang. And
3 days.
You were talking about me condoning a movie villain, and you're like, kill him. Make sure he dies.
Just funneling a vein.
But you're you,
though.
What?
You're you.
Yeah, I
know. Like anything and everything is justified.
Good.
Push a button, it flaps out the blades, and then flay it.
These guys.
But anyway, so Karnak. Like, I don't think I buy him being able to deflect bullets with his bare hands, though.
He can see the weakness.
Sure,
in
but he's
everything.
Not super fast.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's.
I've never liked Karnak, ever. I've always thought his power was silly. All Inhumans power is silly. Medusa's got pretensile hair, and Black Bolt can't say a word, or he destroys his everything.
I don't mind Karnak's power. I think it's pretty neat, but I don't it seems like he's doing way more than he should be
way
able
too
to.
Much.
Right. He's not super fast.
Pretensile hair.
He's not super fast.
Imagine
super
an octopus tentacle, but she can control every strand of her hair like that.
No. If he can see a bullet coming, that shouldn't mean he's able to just effortlessly dodge them all.
I agree with you. I'll say it again. I've never really cared for any of the Inhumans' weird powers. But I've always been an X-Men fan. I'm a huge fan of X-Men's powers. Like, Lob Herman, so cool.
Okay.
You can just see through him. His skin is like blob. Yeah, it's a blob. I love it.
I think you just hate the Inhumans.
I really don't like the Inhumans.
I'm not even down on Karnak's power. I'm just down on...
His power,
they are
the way
really
you're
overstating
it.
What he should be capable of in an everyday fight.
I think you just hate them because Marvel for a while was pushing them.
They're not anymore.
They're not now.
They've seen and they've canceled the movie.
They haven't canceled the movie.
It's canceled.
They've taken it out the
list.
They've
taken it off the list, but it's not.
Did you say they took it off the list?
The movie is.
I love
that. Did I say that?
I think so. I love it.
They're moving the movie into the show because that's where the Inhumans are at. Sure.
Yeah, and I always said it was way too early to introduce them into the show with a movie announced for five years down the road.
Yeah, the
it
show
never
was
made
never
sense.
Gonna last that long.
And even if it did, you have to move on from the Inhumans.
Even really good shows.
7 years The Good Wife went.
Right.
I'm just saying. I'm just using that as an example because that was recently.
Only 7 years?
It felt like it went on for 20 years.
Isn't Grey's Anatomy 15 or some shit?
Past 10. CSI and all of its iterations is up to 15 years or something
The original CSI fell out.
Well, in all its iterations, though.
Oh,
and it's pretty much the same show.
Yeah, I guess, but it's a different cast at least.
Yeah, but they kept mixing out the cast.
I'm not going to put them all in one basket.
I hate that show too. I hate any show where someone has to die or be brutally hurt in the first 5 minutes for there to be a rest of the show.
There's renewed talk.
Says the guy who is praising Civil War.
I am praising. That's different.
That's different.
That's a movie, not a show.
That's different. Yeah, that's
not even Gomer is foolish enough to bad talk Civil War.
In every episode, someone has to be killed or hurt. I'm with you. I totally agree.
So you just don't like the premise of the show.
Right. Okay.
I really like the scene in Superbad where Seth Rogen is the cop is talking about look, we're not gonna catch this guy. On CSI they make it look like there's semen on everything and you can just put the semen into a database and instantly catch everyone.
That's right. And any camera, you can just put it in a computer and you can see
enhance everything.
So if the guy had come into the store, ejaculated, and then punched you in the face, we might be able to get him. But.
Exactly. It's enhance it on that reflection and look at the reflection in the reflection.
Yeah.
There he is.
Well,
that's our perp.
They overplay
just like Karnak, dude.
Yeah. Okay, CSI is a lot more mundane in real life, and also they are not present at the goddamn inheritance.
You know who does good with CSI in comics? Flash.
Well, yeah,
because his CSI has always been really good. Right. You have to stretch out detective work in there because Batman lives in your universe.
Right.
And you actually have to be, like, a detective. And you can't, like, be the Batman detective. Batman has sort of become the CSI detective.
Yeah, but he was known as the world's greatest detective.
But he has gizmos. Yeah. He's like, look in the reflection, in the reflection.
Batman doesn't actually do detective work anymore. He's just like, computer, show me whatever this
is. And he has Alfred do the computer. He's doing everything from the Batjet through proxy.
But at one time, is what I'm saying. That was one of the better selling points to me of Batman.
You're going to get ballistics off a shattered bullet?
Right.
No. Fingerprints.
Yeah.
Made no sense. Really? You're going to do that?
That is Batman.
That was in a Batman movie.
Yeah.
No, I remember. So let's talk about the Batman movie in the context of superhero movie trilogies and compare that to the Captain America trilogy.
You cannot compare those.
Well, no. Is it too soon?
First off,
I mean Nolan's trilogy.
No, those are not comparable.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's been less than a week since I've seen Civil War, though. Okay. I want to digest it.
I
have a problem with that. I've seen that on the internet. Those trilogies are not comparable.
Not by a long shot.
I think you're right.
Because you cannot compare Nolan, which is three movies.
It's a journey of a single character.
It's a tightly knit three-movie trilogy, whereas Captain America, you can't understand any of it that's going on. Like, Cap 3, you don't understand what's going on unless you've seen
five
the Avengers.
Other movies.
It's not a trilogy.
Yeah.
Cap 3 is not Captain America 3. It's Marvel Universe
3.
It's Marvel Universe 15.
Sure. Avengers 2 and a half.
That's true, yeah.
But that's a good argument. There's several movies that are helpful to see. Like, it helps to see Ant-Man, helps
definitely.
To see Iron Man 3. I feel
sure.
like the only required viewing is Winter Soldier and Age of Ultron. I feel like if you've seen no yes. others but those, you'll probably be fine.
Yeah. You can get the crux of the main story. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You may not understand why Giant Man's doing what Giant Man does.
Yeah.
Sure. But, you know, if you missed Ant-Man, you may not understand that he's making things. Although, he did say, throw this little ninja star at this little bus and it'll blow up.
Like I said, helpful.
I thought that was water.
Right. Helpful, but not necessary.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But they didn't know that, though, in that movie.
Central what elements of the plot change around stuff from Winter Soldier and Age of Ultron, though.
What?
Like, central elements of the plot
definitely.
Itself
right.
come from Age of Ultron and Winter Soldier.
Right. Yeah.
You really have to see
those. You need to see those two.
Yeah, definitely. To understand the two main
guys. Baron Zemo, you cannot understand his character motivation
without seeing Age of Ultron. Nothing you're saying is making sense to me.
Well, you haven't seen these movies.
Well, that's because you just were gone for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You're going to spoil the movie magic.
Yeah, it's the illusion of radio.
No, but that's my big fear about Captain America. I got to do homework. I've got to...
Why
haven't you been seeing these movies already?
He's a busy guy.
Oh, because I've been working 90 hours a week.
He's a busy guy.
Small business owner.
And I understand that. He's not... 90-hour workers per week are not the target audience of this franchise.
No.
You know? I'm just saying, these are people who can go on a Tuesday afternoon because I call that a work, which is what I did.
I just went because I can.
Yeah.
well, call it out of work.
Do we want to go around and talk about what our favorite parts were? Because we should talk about Captain America. Maybe not a lot.
All right, before you get into
let's
spoilers,
go ahead. Yeah, we should definitely talk spoilers.
Let's decide how much longer you're going to talk spoilers so that way we can give a warning to any of the listeners who may be...
I think we ought to at least wait one more week to really talk about
it. Well, no, I'm saying...
Let's give them that.
If you're listening and you haven't seen the movie, skip 30 minutes ahead.
Or go listen to another Outright Geekery podcast and then come back.
Yep. after you see the movie.
Do you have, like, a timer we could keep?
He does. He's timing it right now.
Aces. All right, so we'll try to stick to that. So you've been warned, and moving on.
All right.
What's your favorite part of the movie? If you had to pick one thing.
It's really hard because so much of it was good.
It was. I know mine, and you probably know mine from reading my list I put up.
Spider-Man?
And that was Zemo.
Okay, yeah, Zemo, yeah.
He was definitely my favorite part of this movie overall.
A lot of people I'm seeing around the internet are kind of down on him, but I thought he was fantastic.
I thought it was just amazing.
A Daniel Brühl who's in Inglorious Bastards.
Great role in that,
Goodbye Lenin.
I didn't see that.
It's a German movie.
Oh, okay.
I only saw it because I was in a class. I was.
Oh, good. Cool.
It's a good movie, too. But the point is that he's a really good actor, and he was great in this movie.
Yes.
In his own less sort of bombastic goals, he is the most successful Marvel movie villain to date by a wide margin. He completely and utterly accomplished everything he set out to do.
And what he set out to do was not arrogant or self-serving like every other Marvel villain. Even if you go with Ultron, it was still self-serving.
Of course.
Even if you go with Red Skull, he had this brighter vision for the future. It doesn't matter. He still wanted the power.
Right.
Zemo wanted to do this because he thought the Avengers were a true threat. And he knew that the Registration Act, or whatever the hell they called it, the Accords, weren't going to stop the Avengers from being the Avengers, that he had to plant a seed within them to break them up for good.
It was a well-executed twist, because they kept saying throughout the movie that, his thing is like an empire that crumbles from... He had a line where he's like, the empire that crumbles from within can never be remade.
Yeah,
or something to that effect.
Sure,
and,
I think that was the direct quote.
You kept thinking he's talking about destroying like America or something, because you think he's going to go like recruit these other Winter Soldiers that are in like deep freeze somewhere. It turns out that was never what he wanted all along, and that he was talking about the Avengers or the Empire he was destroying.
Yeah,
Everything he did, all the pieces he set in motion, all the manipulation he did, which was masterful. It was all to get Cap, Iron Man, and Bucky in a room together and show them that video.
Yeah. And it was great because, like you said, you had to have watched Winter Soldier to get this. And there's a bit in there.
It didn't
occur
to me until I saw your list that whole bit.
Yes. They showed it.
Right past
That's exactly what I figured to do. But as soon as he said, I need to go to 1991, and they show, at the beginning, they show the video, they show that scene of the wreck. I knew exactly what that was, and I knew exactly where it was going. From that moment, in the very first scene, when they show Winter Soldier wrecking that car and doing his thing to the Starks, immediately I was like, oh man, that's where it's going. I didn't realize Zemo was going to be the one orchestrating everything, but I knew eventually it was going to come to that conflict where Steve knew and didn't tell Tony. And they've been saving the world together, best buds, leaders of the Avengers, supposed to be trusting each other.
He didn't know. He knew it was Hydra. He didn't necessarily know.
He
it was
knew,
Bucky.
Dude.
I take him at his word when he said he didn't know it was Bucky.
Here's my. Only,
I think
the only problem.
I think
had
he
with
had.
That?
Who else was their master assassin? You know what I mean? It had to have occurred to him that
it might have been one of those.
It was
cases
the most
where,
likely scenario.
That might be the case, but maybe this is a case where he didn't know for sure. And maybe he took comfort in that.
Well, sure, maybe. But that still is a betrayal. You don't bring it to him and say, hey, this Winter Soldier guy that...
Or like Hydra, at least.
Or
like,
something. Yeah or something.
Your parents' deaths wasn't an accident.
Sure. Exactly, sure. He knew it wasn't an accident.
Yeah.
How did Steve Rogers know Captain America and Tony didn't?
Know about the death?
No.
From Zola.
Zola had shown him the files.
Zola showed him the files when he went back to, in Captain America Winter Soldier.
Right.
They went back to where Cap was training, and they found that secret room where Zola
was.
Right,
no, I know that.
Zola said, we manipulated it through, moves like this and convenient accidents.
But I didn't see that scene in Captain America Winter Soldier, is what I'm saying.
It was in there.
That scene of the
I know they went to the compound and all that where they get blown up, yada yada yada.
Yeah,
I did not see. Was it implied or
it was directly shown. He is showing them a slideshow of like clips kind of put together.
And there was a headline.
I must have missed.
And there was a headline that says Starks die in an accident. Nation mourns. And during that time, Zola says, "And we manipulated things. We made sure accidents happened when they had to."
Then you know everything, man. I don't get the problem.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Is how did he know it was Bucky that
he didn't?
He didn't.
That's what we were saying. There's Cap did not know it was Bucky.
There's definitely a likelihood that Cap
was
presumed that it was Bucky, because Hydra was their main go-to assassin.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that he didn't know. I'm going to say that maybe his heart of hearts, he suspected it, but he never actually knew.
There may be a bit of plausible deniability there, but there was still a betrayal because he knew it wasn't an accident.
But that's kind of tangentially related to another. That's another thing I'm going to praise about the movie real quick.
Sure.
That final scene is such an emotional impact where he's fighting with Iron Man, because we like both of these characters and we can completely understand both of their sides.
Exactly.
Of the issue.
Yeah.
Of course, Iron Man is going to lash out. He's in the room with the guy who murdered his parents,
and the dude who he sees it has who has just betrayed him by not telling him the full truth,
and who is in fact fighting to defend the killer.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
We also
it's
understand
layered.
Why Steve's fighting to defend Bucky.
Yeah.
Bucky was not in control of his actions, and Steve is nothing if not in like
loyalty.
Extremely loyal.
Extremely loyal. Yeah. Right. Well, Bucky had his back when Steve had nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Always had his back.
So, yeah, I'm with you to the end. Right.
And Tony has always been, in my opinion, he pushes people. He manipulates.
Sure.
Big time.
Sure.
And everything. And Steve knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. And he doesn't want to hurt his friend. That's why he never told him the whole story.
Yeah.
It's just kind of funny to me that S.H.I.E.L.D. itself didn't have more info.
Well, even if S.H.I.E.L.D. did, they would never tell Tony that truth.
Black Widow downloaded everything, remember, to the net.
Well, she knew. Well, she may have presumed too, but she's definitely not going to say anything.
But wait a minute. In one scene of the movie, though, Black Widow said, "Remember me."
They fought before.
They had fought before. Yeah, they fought before.
Right, but I'm wondering is if they're going to bring up, like in the comics, if you don't read it, didn't know it.
Yeah.
Bucky and Natasha have a relationship.
Oh, sure. Well, I don't think they're going to go there now. Yeah, I don't think they're
going to. Very, very much doubt it.
And they've really pushed the Hawkeye-Black Widow relationship, even though that's a...
Hawkeye's married with
kids. Well, that's what I was getting at, but they definitely pushed that there was...
Well, they pushed her and Hulk.
Yeah, they pushed her and Hulk, sure.
That's what we'll assume.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to assume they stick with it. No, I do not think they're going to do anything romantic with Bucky.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I'm not sure when we'll see Bucky again.
Okay, but you asked me earlier what my favorite part of the movie was.
I don't know. We'll see.
Or in the second.
You'll have to bust him out, right?
It's not really a
moment. Black Panther will bring him out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. For the fight. When will we see the Winter Soldier again?
I think in the second Avengers.
In the Infinity War?
Like, yeah, they pull him out of deep freeze when they need the extra help or whatever.
Right. Sure.
But
he's only got one arm, though. I don't know what the hell he's going to do.
The Wakandans?
They'll
rebuild his
shit. They'll give him a fucking vibranium.
Wham.
Yeah.
He'll be awesome.
Alan's not saying a word.
He hasn't seen it.
I haven't seen the movie yet.
He hasn't seen it.
You asked me earlier what my favorite part of the movie was. It's not really a part, per se, but I love the chemistry between all the different... Like, I love how spot on all of the portrayals were, I felt like.
Yeah.
Especially the new people. Black Panther and Spider-Man were awesome.
Let's talk about Black Panther first, because this is a character who is immediately regal. And immediately a person who, this dude is all full of himself. And then
he has such a commanding presence.
Yes. And then he is immediately thrust into a position that he doesn't want to be, while gripped with dealing with his father's death, the thing that caused him to be in that position, and seeking revenge. He's a very torn and ripped character at the beginning, and you can so see that. You know, you can so see
and
that
like,
with
there's
him.
So much confidence in everything, like, you know, like, don't bother, I'm just going to go kill him myself.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like, he seems like he's this, like, indomitable presence on the battlefield, and, like, he's, like, you can tell that in his mind it's over as soon as he catches these guys.
Sure.
He knows he's going to win. Or at least he's... I don't know if he could actually be Captain America, but...
Yeah.
He certainly might
but
be able
to. There were a lot of layers to Black Panther, and they were subtle in his understanding of the situations as they evolved.
Yeah.
Immediately he wanted revenge, and he second-guessed himself wanting that revenge. To an extent, you know, he was balls to the wall when he was talking to Black Widow, and he was like, "Oh no, I'm going to find him, and I'm going to do what needs to be done." But then there were moments where you could tell he was hesitant. You know, he said, "No, there was something more going on," and I don't think he gave his all.
Yeah.
This is the dude who outran a motorcycle, and when he actually got to the fight with Bucky, at one point during the airport fight, he ninja kicked him, and Bucky does like a triple twist. I think during the street fight where he first gets him, he's trying to catch him, not kill him. I think Black Panther knew there was more going on. It's difficult.
But he wanted Wakandan justice.
He knew he needed it for his people.
Right.
I love the part
and
where,
that's a part that T'Challa is always good. He's torn between his
loyalty
world
to his people
and his loyalty as a hero. Right. And I think they really, in a subtle way, really pushed that through, you know?
I like the part at the end where he and Zemo have their moment.
Oh, definitely. He saves him.
Yeah. And yep. Black Panther sees the broken man that he could be himself.
Boom! Dude, you nailed it! That's just so perfect. Yes. Yeah, because the same thing happened to both characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. What road do you take?
Well,
you know,
actually,
both roads go to the same place, but which one do you take?
He gets to see that Zemo followed the path that he was going on, and Zemo became everything he ever hated.
Boom.
Because he caused
all
this collateral damage.
Dude,
he killed
just
a bunch of innocent
it.
People in the name of a cause.
Oh, man. Yeah, you nailed it, dude. Yeah, if the Black Panther movie is... if this doesn't get you psyched for the Black Panther movie...
Oh my god.
Dude.
We have to wait 2 years?
I think so.
Damn it.
Yeah,
while his female bodyguard, T'Challa's female bodyguard, is not named as Shuri, his sister, it's gotta be. And, dude.
I saw that they were like, entertaining.
That was a good scene.
Yeah. Okay, what other character? Spider-Man.
Duh. Yeah, fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah, go ahead, sorry. There were so many cool things in this movie.
This was... I loved how genuinely enthusiastic. Not like doing puns or being corny like you kind of see with the old Tobey Maguire movie.
Yeah.
And not all angsty and kind of like the Amazing Spider-Man.
A bit of confidence.
He's genuinely enthusiastic.
And confident under the mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a teenager.
It's such a, this is such
good.
A perfect portrayal of teenage Spider-Man.
Because he wasn't confident in Aunt May's living room.
They didn't, and I was so sure they were going to shoehorn in with great power comes great responsibility.
They didn't.
But he rephrased it.
And he didn't even rephrase it. He was kind of beating around the bush.
He got that sentiment across without like them tacking that in.
Yes. Right. It was really, really well done. Really well done.
His moves were done.
It's like, and he brought a lot of great lighthearted touch. He and Ant-Man both deserve a lot of credit for taking a pretty dour scene and making it like a real joy to watch. I love the part where it's like he's fighting. Normally we don't talk this much when we're fighting.
Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, like
yeah,
he does like, it all the time.
We don't need to talk right now."
I liked, and I'm not even sure because it's a tough generational thing, but I sort of like how Ant-Man seemed to be like. Like, well, my generation's sort of brand of comedy. More of like a sitcom sort of brand of comedy.
Yeah.
But
Ant-Man was cornier, but I feel like that was like a choice that they made.
Well, favorite Ant-Man joke was like when he was in jail, and it wasn't even him with the punchline, it was Tony with the punchline.
Well, like he like said like the like
he says,
oh, like,
my dad told me, or Pym told me never to trust a Stark, and Tony's like, who are you?
Right.
Come on, man. Yeah, he's like, come on, man.
But
yes.
He kept trying to, like, kind of have, like, the kind of cornball moment.
Yeah.
Because, like, he was all caught up. And the whole reason he was there in the first place is because Captain America needs help. Oh, my God, he picked me.
Yeah. And, but Peter Parker Spider-Man felt more like a millennial sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, y'all ever seen that old movie, The Empire Strikes Back? And
how
it's like, come on.
Yeah.
How young is this?
Yeah, and that's what, exactly.
He's on the youngest side.
Right.
But he gets what the AT-ATs are and all that. It's like,
but,
that was about the only bad thing out of that whole thing.
I'm anxious to find out how Steve feels when he figures out he punched a 16-year-old kid in the face. And the after credit scene with... Peter talking to May saying, oh, we're here to fight. Yeah, his name's Steve.
He's a guy from Brooklyn.
Yeah. And that was a great moment when he's talking about
really
where they're from.
Friend,
Where he's talking about where they're from.
Yeah.
He's like, where are you from, kid? And, you know, and he's like,
I'm
from Queens. He's like, I'm from Brooklyn. It's just a great moment. My favorite Spider-Man character moment was definitely at the end of the fight when he's pooped. He's got his ass kicked. He's putting out. But he's still ready to go on. And he will if Tony asks him to. But Tony says, no, sit down.
You're done.
And I said it in my list, my top of the lot. He has his mask half off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, that's Spider-Man to me. It's the conflict between Peter and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And they have different life goals.
But it wasn't...
And I love how they... And they're really doing a great job of introducing...
That was a great encapsulation of his character.
Sure.
Whole, like, even when no one should ever expect him to get up, he still wants to get up.
Yes. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Oh, man.
But...
If you doesn't get excited about a Spider-Man movie, too, not only a great movie, it was a great commercial for the next Ant-Man movie, for the Black Panther movie.
Gets me excited.
Yeah, dude, are you kidding me? Dude, Aunt May gets any younger. I don't know what I'm going to do.
They kept showing, they saw like a meme photo someone did of like, it's like they keep getting younger and younger. And like, like 20 years from now, it's like a toddler and an infant.
Oh, man.
One thing I like about Aunt May,
they
get older and they get younger.
There's an issue of Spider-Man where Aunt May starts dating J. Jonah Jameson's father.
Yeah.
And Peter actually walks in on them in bed.
Yeah.
And someone has photoshopped that to be Iron Man's, Tony Stark's face on there. And it's like, homecoming. Welcome home, Peter. And it's like, no.
That's wrong.
Because that's exactly what you think when Tony is in there. He's obviously macking on Marissa Tomei. Yeah. And Marissa Tomei's got that smile that I think only Marissa Tomei has, that smile. She's like, yeah, you're flirting with me and I'm enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
She's got that smile. And, yeah, I cannot wait for this movie. It was a big commercial for, like, 4 or 5 different movies.
So, okay, what's really cool about Civil War in a general sense, it could only have existed as part of this shared continuity.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have to take time to establish these characters' motivations. They were able to build off of why Tony is so guilt-ridden. They were able to build off of why Bucky means so much to Steve.
Yeah.
And it also makes me so pumped for more movies with these characters.
I think this makes the idea of Marvel's movie shared universe official.
Yeah.
Because now not only are they saying at the end of a movie, oh yeah, the next movie's coming, here's your little tidbit, but actually in the movie now, they can say, no, you're going to want to go to the Black Panther movie, and here's why.
Yeah.
Right. And they haven't done that before. These are honest to goodness now shared things, and everything is going to matter, and it's all up to us now. Inhumans is gone. Why? Because it doesn't fit in what we want. I honestly think that's why Inhumans is gone now.
I'm hoping
that's part
because
of the reason.
There's
renewed
talk about a Black Widow movie. I'm hoping that they're tagging in Black Widow.
They need to.
After, I was a little down on, because she is kind of like a sidekick. But after this movie, there is definitely room for her to move forward.
Well, another good
and I don't need an origin story. I don't need a Red Room. I don't need Budapest.
That's another thing
I'm cool with her going forward now.
You mentioned origin stories. Here's another good area for a shout-out. They didn't bother with Spider-Man's freaking origin story because we freaking know Spider-Man's origin.
They didn't bother explaining how Giant Man works in a Sony or Fox movie.
Yeah, they had one line explanation.
They would have not even. It didn't even really explain. He was just like, oh, I tried this one time
in a lab.
And I fainted. But they never really tell you what it is.
They trust the audience to be like, if he can shrink, he can grow.
Exactly. But there's a fine line there. You can't have expect. And I think that's part of the problem with Batman versus Superman. They expected too much from the audience.
I will say,
Doomsday? Why does Lex Luthor's blood in there mean anything?
Let's wait a week before we do the Batman Superman
comparison.
Comparison, please.
No, yeah, okay,
It is unavoidable and it needs to happen, but let's hold on.
Oh, it's definitely unavoidable.
My thing with Giant Man.
Yeah.
I got a lot to say.
Being able to grow.
Yeah.
Well,
I fucking love the Tony slam where it's like, does anybody on our team have a secret power they want to write?
Yeah.
But he had the little disc that he used made things grow in the first movie.
Definitely.
And of course in this movie also.
Yeah.
So it stood the reason
the
that
the theory was set
already
for the
set
audience
and everything.
Yeah.
You knew it.
But it's a
comments,
fine line, dude. There's a fine line between the audience being a dumb, meatless skin bag, or them being rocket scientists. You have to find that middle ground.
It's a logical, jump in logic.
You can't
to think
jump
if he can shrink, then he can grow.
It's
a logical jump.
That is why it's important that they did the part where he had his growing ninja star to let us, as while watching this movie, see that there is at least the idea out there of growing.
But it was already out there in the.
They have to, but they have to sort of.
I'm
saying the Ninja Star lets you get by without having seen Ant-Man.
I hate calling that
which
we're calling
they do
it,
have to do a little bit.
I hate that we're calling
can't
it
just
Ninja Star.
Completely assume you've seen every single one of them.
The hook was there. That's what I'm saying. The hook, it was an easy, quick explanation.
Yeah, you're right. It was a great way to set it up.
So you did. If you didn't see Ant-Man, you could go, okay.
Yeah.
Those he makes things grow. Why can't he make?
Sure. It's not like they're being like he could shrink and he can also shoot flames out of his hand.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, it's not a giant leap, but it's still a leap that Marvel, but Fox and Sony would have screwed up. They would have explained it too much, or they would have
exactly Kitty Pryde and Days of Future
exactly.
Past. How the
dude.
Hell does she have this power?
Exactly.
That makes no sense.
Exactly. Yeah, dude. It's just weird. that Marvel has just, they know what they're doing.
Well, Marvel,
I think they've
it's almost getting obnoxious at this point. How they refuse to like do anything even remotely bad.
It is obnoxious.
I think a lot of them who's doing the movies are actually reading key comics.
Sure.
And everything.
Yeah. Or at least have an idea of what happens in those comics.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They read a key storyline, and they definitely probably went on the Marvel Universe and
whatever,
looked up all the characters so they could play this off even better.
You can tell the actors are read up on important stories.
Right. They've done the research, and they've done it, and they didn't change enough of it to screw with anything.
Yeah. They got their winner. We'll see if Doctor Strange is also another winner later this year.
I can't imagine it being anything worse than pretty good.
Yeah.
No. I think it'll be an A movie.
As far as jokes go, Spider-Man and Ant-Man obviously had the best. Yeah. But there was...
I love the Cap and Bucky play.
Dude, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, she must be... Like, you wasted all the money winning that redhead a prize at the fair.
Yeah.
Right, man, she must be 100 by now. So are we, man.
Yeah. And there's another moment with him where he's kissing Agent 13 and and Sam and Bucky are like, yeah, or whatever. And they're not really that over on it.
Yeah, but it's more subtle. Yeah.
It's like bros. Yeah. It really was a cool
They were
moment.
Giving him the bro nod.
Yeah.
And I also love her, like, can you move your seat up? No.
No. And they're in a Volkswagen Beetle, which is so weird because of the German-Nazi sort of connection. Such a weird...
Well, it is.
Connection. Well, they were in Germany, but it was a weird sort of connection.
Well, it is. It is because here they are in it.
Yeah.
In Germany.
Yeah.
Or in Munich, right?
I don't know.
No, Vienna. They were
right. Yeah, Vienna.
In Vienna. And, they end up in the car designed by
It was some point in the middle there.
The airport was in Leipzig, I'm pretty sure.
Leipzig.
Sorry, German audience.
Redbird or Redtail?
Redbird.
Red Wing.
Red Wing. Yeah, Red Wing. That was awesome.
I thought it was a cool updated version of an old.
Yeah, it's a cool little comic. Kind of nod to the audience without having to do the cold. Like, an actual Falcon would have been a little hokey, I think.
Oh, very hokey. And ignoring it
works in comics
would have worked,
but
the way they addressed it was very cool.
Right.
And the freaking combos, man. Do we even want to talk about Vision at all? Vision was sort of like a really, like a side character in this.
Well, it's not his movie.
No.
Vision got... I still... His scenes he was in, he was pretty good. I like
his relationship with the witch is brilliant.
I kind of like his... Like, he's wearing, like, these kind of, like, polo outfits.
Yeah, he's wearing like white dude clothes.
Yeah, he's gonna go like he's gonna go clubbing. Not clubbing, but like
going to the golf club.
Yeah, golf club.
Yeah, the polo club. Yeah,
he's gonna go play some polo.
Right.
And Scarlet Witch had a lot more kind of depth of character, I feel like, than she was allowed to have in Age of Ultron.
Sure, definitely. Sure. Yeah. Well, she felt she had a lot of guilt. She was really torn.
Yeah.
Everybody was torn over the Accords, and they really pulled it off well. I thought Black Widow's sort of journey to the end, where she ends up saving the day for all intents and purposes.
Oh, yes.
At the end of the day, there were no weak performances.
No. No. Not even Aunt May.
The new people are
she's
the ones.
Great.
The new characters are the ones who left the biggest impression with me, but it goes without saying that Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. are killing it every time they get out there.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about direction. The Russos.
Oh,
yeah.
They're doing wonderful.
They are now... Yeah.
Them directing Infinity War, just it seems perfect now.
And they are now, next year, going to... Well, later this year, are working on the first Chinese superhero franchise. They're starting the franchise. A Hero Awakens is the name of it. It's going to be all Chinese language. Those movies usually don't make it over here dubbed or any other way.
I think that
but
movie will make it over here.
Let's hope that it does. Getting American directors to do superhero movies.
I want them to succeed at everything they
This movie has there. Made 79%. Captain America 3 has made 79% of its money out of the United States. Out of North America. That's huge. I mean, it's a trend now, but it's huge.
Opening weekend here in the States, and
it's on course to be the biggest movie of all time.
Man.
It's on course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it stays the way, and if it's consistent the way other Marvel movies were consistent over the long haul, it'll definitely.
Well, I'm pretty sure the word of mouth on this one, it's not going to drive off a cliff like Batman Superman did.
Oh, definitely.
Well, that was a pretty rare occurrence.
Well, word of mouth, and I'm not sure what other movies come out. I mean, I know we got X-Men at the end of the month.
Yeah. X-Men comes out in 3 months. That'll be the only one maybe.
Honestly,
take it off.
I'm still going to be on Civil War hype.
I think so. I think I will too.
X-Men recently hasn't been getting.
No, it has not been getting good reviews.
Not good press.
Apparently, yeah, the early word on X-Men Apocalypse is not glowing.
Dude, my lazy.
How are we on spoiler time?
Oh, it's up to 34 minutes. I'm not sure where we started. We're probably right there.
Okay, all right. So, just bottom line, Civil War was fan freaking fantastic.
Yeah, it was. So, my wife is a huge fan of the X-Men film franchise, even the bad ones, even like the Origin.
I enjoyed it.
I can't think of any.
It is.
I watched it the other day because it was on, and it was.
Dude, they're all over the place if you watch them all in a row. Oh, it's terrible.
Like the original two X-Men movies.
The first two are okay.
Yeah, they're pretty good. But I was about to say, they kind of have the same thing going on that the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies have going on, in that they're good movies, and they're really good for the time, but they have been overshadowed pretty hard. They've been surpassed by a pretty wide degree.
The problem with the original X-Men movies is that they're kind of afraid to be X-Men movies.
You're right.
Whereas you see something like Captain America 3, where it's not afraid.
Yeah.
It completely embraces.
Yeah, I don't know if I've said it yet.
It's still like self-conscious stigma of being a comic book movie.
Even in X-Men 1,
they made the point of saying, at least not wearing yellow spandex. Right, audience? How stupid that would be.
But I want him in yellow spandex.
Me too. I wanted yellow spandex.
Yeah, now we have Marvel, like Captain America. He does, like, he's out there in his, let's be honest, objectively ridiculous costume.
Ant-Man's costume is ridiculous.
And people are eating it up. No one is having a little bit of a problem
even
with
it. Even Spider-Man's costume, that is ridiculous in a real life
an idiotic
setting.
Thing to be
I did, and this isn't a spoiler, but
I'm sorry for stepping on it, Chose. I know you've been like anxiously waiting to jump in here.
Yeah, please talk about something I want to talk about. But I said that I had an emotional reaction during Cap 3, and this isn't a spoiler. Seeing the things that I saw as a child pulled out on the big screen, I wasn't prepared for it, and it was a very cool moment for me. The mutants have not done that, you know, in their movies, and I would really like for them to do it, because really, emotionally, that's where my heart is at Marvel.
The X-Men
historically is with the X-Men.
The X-Men movies,
those people
were
like my friends when I was growing up.
Taken as a whole, the X-Men movies have been pretty damn good.
They're decent.
They're definitely none that I would put in the list of genuinely great, like I would for several Marvel movies now.
I think if you said, hey, do you want to watch Days of Future Past, which is my favorite X-Men movie, or a Marvel movie, I would say, well, which Marvel movie?
All right, so...
You know what I mean? It would be... We're done with the spoilers for Cap.
Well, right, what I'm saying is, the people I told to skip ahead 30 minutes will be joining us in just a moment.
Oh, good.
We jumped the gun a bit.
Well, I knew it was around there.
Well, yeah, better safe than sorry.
Yeah, sure. We'll say it again. Great movie.
Yep.
Go watch it.
See it twice. I heard you
say
something.
I'm going to go see it next week.
About
my parents are going to go see it.
Making most of its money overseas.
70-some% of its money. High 70s, yes.
So
it's a trend low.
This is a big deal, even though it came out 2 and 3 weeks earlier overseas in some places.
Well, it usually does tend to be the case where they do the Marvel movies like a week ahead overseas a lot. That's true, but they usually kind of get blown out of the water
once the domestic sales start. To Box Office Mojo and look at the biggest budgets of all or the biggest box offices of all time, the majority of those have been the higher percentage overseas. And I'm just saying it's
right. Well, I mean, it's just, you know, all right, overseas. Iron Man, they're at the height. We're at the wane of the movie theater as far as it being an everyman. Now it's for us. It's still that escapism, but it's not the main way we watch movies. And most there's many places overseas. It's still the main way.
Movies. China is the largest thing. They have an IMAX theater going up there every week, and for the next year. Every week they have an IMAX theater going up. I mean, it's going to be the biggest market by the end of the year.
Every week. That's a lot of screens.
Well, they have like 10 of the largest cities on the planet.
True.
They have like huge cities.
In China now?
I think there's like 2 billion, probably more than that. Yeah, they don't do accurate census. They don't do accurate anything.
I think it's estimated 2 billion people. Yeah,
China. Shit all over China.
If anyone noticed Tony Stark's telephone, his cell phone in Cap 3,
it was
a Vivo phone. This is a phone that is only available in China.
Right.
I'm just saying. The cross-marketing. In Doctor Strange, they're not mentioning Tibet, which is a huge aspect of Doctor Strange's background. They're not doing it because of China.
I think they're still going to be in Tibet, but the Ancient One is not a Tibetan character anymore.
I know, I've heard that they're not even mentioning the area.
If it will offend the Chinese, they're not going to do it.
Because it made a lot of money. $200 million
movies to China.
This is another conversation I got into at work recently. Someone asked me about the controversy since I'm like the comic guy at work.
Okay.
It's a tricky subject, but like I think it is worth mentioning that it's not like the Ancient One is this classic character. And if we're being honest, he's a bit of an offensive stereotype, at least in the Silver Age.
I think there was no winning for Marvel here. Because you're right, he is a stereotype. Wong is a stereotype.
True.
And they have to be really careful. But again, on the other hand, it's a great opportunity for a major movie studio and Disney to highlight some Asian characters, to highlight Asian actors.
That's true. That's probably the biggest counter-argument is that there's already...
Why can't we have four Asians in the same movie? Why? Why not?
Already few enough roles
but they're not.
Minority actors.
Yeah.
And this is taking yet another one away and giving it to a white woman.
True. True. But... how many black dudes were in Captain America? There was one black dude.
No.
On the hero squad?
No.
Okay,
Falcon
there's three. Falcon
and
Sam.
Three.
There's
and Black Panther.
Well, how many Asians then?
All right, so...
No Asians.
Well, I'm just saying.
Those who jumped ahead are back
I think Marvel is doing a good job
of
pushing diversity.
Square table,
and it is worth mentioning that they're making Baron Mordred black.
Yes.
I'm your host, Lawrence of America. With me today is
Adam,
Taylor,
Steve,
and I did an intro.
That's cool. They know I'm here.
Screw you,
they know I'm here.
But, man, is that the longest we've gone before the intro?
Man, no, it's hard to keep track. Probably not. I think at one point we did the intro right before the outro because we forgot.
Well, I was going to do the intro, but y'all were ready to... I didn't want to, no, wait, let's introduce ourselves so I can leave and y'all can talk about the
Let's talk about comics. Let's talk about comics. We have Free Comic Book Day, Larry. Did that go well for you?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Also, one thing on the China movie point, I wanted
to
say...
Yeah.
The same thing happened before World War II with Germany. Because Germany was the second largest movie market.
Mm.
So they really stepped off making movies that made until
the war.
Until the war had started.
And the Nazis became the villains of everything
real fast.
Everything.
And then after the war, it became the Russians.
During the Cold War.
You can tell a lot about a culture by who they cast as their villains.
True.
Right. Nowadays, it's mostly terrorists. Back in the Cold War, it was mostly Russians.
In the MCU, it was us and them. With S.H.I.E.L.D. and HYDRA being one, it was them. Yep. Which is, I don't know if it makes a statement, I'm just saying.
Well, and that's definitely, you see how us as a society has changed, through how we view our media, our stories, how we tell our tales,
Or how the media allows it to be told.
Well, true.
Larry's
hinting at a conspiracy.
No, it's not a conspiracy. It's historical fact. It's a legitimate marketing strategy.
Learn a lot about Greek culture by reading the Iliad and the Odyssey.
Exactly.
We learn a lot about ourselves by the stories we tell.
That's right.
So you could say where we are as a society.
But Larry did just say
that
people were gearing things towards Germans before the war.
They were marketing. Movies.
Well, gearing and marketing, that's the
Germany
same thing.
Because it was the second largest market.
Sure.
The same way they do China now.
And then the government said, no, you can't sell stuff to Germany anymore.
No.
During the war, they did?
No. That's not what happened.
Okay.
The rumors of the concentration camps and stuff, the anti-Jew movement in Germany at the time, which a large portion of the movie studios were owned by Jewish people.
Okay.
As soon as that got there, they're like,
nope.
Nazis are the bad guys and everything.
Well, that's still conspiratorial. There's still somebody in power stopping the market from just doing what it does.
It's not a conspiracy if it's a documented fact.
But
it's not a conspiracy that we snuck men on
it's not a conspiracy theory if it's not documented. It can still be a bunch of people colluding together to commit.
Dude,
I'm just saying.
All right.
So angry but it wasn't.
No, I'm okay, not angry. Okay. I'm just saying you right. are missing the.
Maybe let's talk about the word conspiracy for theory. Agenda.
All right. So.
Well, a conspiracy right, theory
me,
is something that's
is
not proven.
Thing.
We were about to talk about Semantics. Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, let's talk about Free Comic Book Day.
Right. As I say, that was a very public, open thing.
Yes.
But, yes.
Well, no, but a conspiracy is different than a conspiracy theory.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, who cares?
Well, I just want to make sure everyone's
speaking of Civil War, that Civil War II Free Comic Book Day issue sucks.
It was terrible. It was awful. Bad.
I don't need to borrow it from one of you guys.
It was bad.
It was gone by the time I got here. I had to come afterwards.
It was bad.
Damn, man.
It was really bad.
Was it just...
It was the worst Bendis conversation.
It was like, hey, let's go up and hang out and eat dinner. And then the
psychic... Oh my god, is that really what it was?
Yeah, they basically. Were like hanging out to have a meeting with the Inhuman dude.
I trusted you, Bendis.
And then he's like, oh no!
Thanos
is coming! And then they're like, okay, shh, we're gonna do this, we're gonna get Thanos. Everybody pretend like we're not here. Honest to goodness, this is what's happening.
Really?
It was more elaborate than that.
Right.
More,
no, like, that's pretty like much surprise
I'm just,
attack.
I'm just picturing everyone like throwing a surprise party for Thanos.
It kind of was.
Basically, they're like, surprise attack, and then they start fighting Thanos, and then all of a sudden they're like, surprise attack too.
And then Thanos is like, what are you fools doing here? And then Thanos is like, shucks, y'all got me.
And then Galactus comes out with a cake.
Happy birthday, Thanos!
it really kind of did feel like
I
that.
I thought you guys forgot.
But then somebody got hurt.
War Machine got blasted by Thanos.
And, but
War Machine can't catch a break.
Thanos was startled.
She-Hulk got injured in some way. And those were both two characters on the short list to get killed in Civil War II.
But here's like the genesis of the story. If they wouldn't have known the future, War Machine and She-Hulk would not have been in that position. So what are we really doing here? Are we really protecting people, or are we just putting people in harm's way? Different
well, now
people
we're getting
in
like
harm's
Greek
way.
Tragedy stuff.
That's
where
they're
Oedipus
moving.
Oedipus never would have had any bad things happen to him if not for the prophecy.
That's
of bad
where Bendis
happening.
Is at now, dude.
I think you're giving Bendis too much credit.
Well, I think that I might be.
Prophecy.
He's not going to do a good job of it, but I think that's where it's headed.
It's Minority Report.
Well, see,
well, it's Minority Report,
to the
but
art quite a lot. But it's going to be hard going from the last major Marvel event, Secret Wars, which is arguably the best one they've ever done.
Yeah,
it's hard to follow that.
In Minority Report, the hold on a second. In Minority Report, the future telling device was manipulated by a third party.
Right. No, I understand.
So I don't think it's going to be like Minority Report. I don't think there's going to be that twist to this Ulysses character.
Right, no, I understand that.
I think they're honestly going to be like. No, we shouldn't know the future because what are we going to do? Just put other people in harm's way and they'll get hurt. People are going to get hurt regardless.
Yeah.
I think that's where they're going to take
well,
the story.
It's not
that
the
Ulysses
future if you
is
know.
Thanos.
That's the thing.
Well, that's the thing.
It's only the future if it actually comes true. If you manipulate all right,
but
either way,
that's a good
it's
point
now
too.
Not the future.
Well,
that's
so
a good point
if you
too.
See the future
yeah.
and say, okay, I know that the world's going to be a better place in 20 years. But in 10 years, everybody I love and know in my immediate family is going to suffer horribly.
Okay. I think that's
but
a different
But through
moral
that,
question.
You know, or,
yeah, I think
or so-and-so is going to die, yeah. but it's going to be better at the end. You just kind of got to, your burden is knowing,
I think,
not.
I think that's a different moral question because in this case, Ulysses' power, it predicted Thanos showing up, but it did not then predict War Machine and She-Hulk getting hurt.
Yeah, the only thing he predicted was Thanos is going to get
So how do we know that the ripples that he caused by putting War Machine in harm's way didn't then hurt War Machine to the point where in 10 years War Machine can't show up to save the bigger day?
Exactly.
Butterfly effect.
But yeah, the butterfly
effect. Well, I
mean,
it's the same thing you would say.
It does seem to defeat the purpose of the
of being able to tell the future.
That's why you can't tell the future.
Yes.
Because if you could tell the future,
you've immediately changed it by viewing it.
Well, not necessarily,
you can
though.
View it. You can always
not
view a future.
That's the paradox here.
Well,
now we're talking Star Trek.
You can run to like
well,
an Oedipus problem where you're told the future,
and
since you're told
future,
the future, you fulfill the future yourself.
Yeah.
Accidentally.
Well, I think it's sort of like the scientific premise of...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. recently, they got a new... Like, the character Fitz was gung-ho that if someone predicts the future, that is definitely what's going to happen, and there's nothing you can do about it because of his explanation that time is not... We view time 1 second at a time, but... in fact, it's all happening at once, and we get us only.
Oh, okay. That's Einstein-y. That's
getting into Watchmen too,
and that fits into Einstein theory.
Exactly,
yeah.
But yeah. That's what I was saying. If you can affect the future,
yeah.
If you know the future and then you can affect it,
you've changed.
Now
that
you've
future.
Changed the future, just like going back into the past,
yeah,
and killing Hitler.
I think we're thinking way into this. Been this comic.
Well, here's another thing of it.
Get as deep
as I hope
there's
not.
There's an aspect of science that says if a scientist just by viewing the experiment he is doing is changing that experiment. And that's
it's like getting into quantum mechanics.
It is quantum mechanics and quantum theory. Well, I'm just saying that's where they're going. They're talking about time travel and
that's not
the
where
future.
They're going. They're just giving us an excuse for them to punch you.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had some sort of technical glitch. Now we're back. All right.
I think I did it.
We're back.
I'll blame myself.
Adam, it seems, left us on the zinger about this is really just a contrived excuse for them to beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, and I followed up with Bendis is jealous that Mark Miller got to write the. First of all,
probably. I mean,
because he wrote all the other events.
Bendis wrote everything else.
It was probably his idea.
Bendis made the Avengers popular enough to be a successful movie franchise.
I am looking forward to
Bendis making the Avengers as popular as they are was all part of their scheme.
Yeah, it was
to get to an Avengers movie. I'm just saying, without Brian Michael Bendis, we would not have got
conspiracy.
They had already sold off the X-Men. You know, they couldn't do anything with it.
Right.
No, that's a conspiracy theory. I have no evidence to back this up.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I say it's...
Yeah, but Marvel had already done that before they got bought by Disney.
Yeah, true.
So
Disney would have eventually made an Avengers movie anyway, and it probably would have done just fine. With or without the invention of Brian Michael Bendis.
I don't think...
That is true.
But
the larger movie-going audience could not give two shits about the Ultimates.
Yeah.
Fraction
of the people that have seen
Marvel Productions
seen
was
Avengers have read anything.
Marvel Studios was still on their own. We're not with Disney when they started this trick with Iron Man and that stuff. And Iron Man, dude, he was a B-lister. Before Bendis got him back to going. He was, dude. His book was not selling well.
Bendis had
with bringing the Avengers back together?
Nothing to do with making Iron Man a huge success.
Within the context of Avengers.
He was always a big part of the Avengers.
He's the one
That's
who
the reason Bendis was using him.
He's the one
he
who put Spider-Man on the Avengers.
He's one of the big three Avengers.
The only reason he put Wolverine on the Avengers was because those movies had done so well that Wolverine had mass popularity.
Does Bendis deserve credit as a writer for kind of reinvigorating the Marvel brand a little bit in the early 2000s?
Sure.
But would we have gotten here without him? I think probably.
At least as far as the movies go. Say.
I think as long as Disney bought the rights to the characters, they would have cranked out movies.
But they didn't just buy the rights to the characters.
They bought the characters.
They bought the
Disney
package.
Bought Marvel because the movies were successful.
Right.
Not because the characters were awesome.
Yeah,
the characters were always
the movies
awesome.
They could give two figs about Marvel Comics. They wanted Marvel Studios.
Right. Disney is smart enough to know, no, we can't buy a license for Captain America. We don't really know what to do with Captain America.
We know you do.
Right.
So we'll buy all of you.
Right.
We're not just going to buy the people in the house. We want the house,
mostly
too.
They buy things that are already proven successes. Like Pixar, like Marvel
Star Wars.
Studios. Yeah, fucking Star Wars.
Marvel
Studios.
Well,
indeed.
They get
really
Indiana Jones, too.
Marvel they got a whole package.
Okay, what was the first really successful Marvel movie? Iron Man was a fluke. And I say it was a fluke because you had an actor that loved the character. Begged to do it.
Yeah.
Convince them against their better judgment, quote unquote, to cast him.
Well, I'm
You're
just
had
on
you
one.
Not
yeah, I'm losing it too.
Had Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man would not been
I
the
could,
success.
I could agree with you that I do think Robert Downey Jr. and Kevin Feige both probably deserve more credit than Bendis does for
Robert,
making
Robert sure. Downey Jr. Being Iron Man is definitely lightning in a bottle as far as casting goes.
That's what I'm saying. So without that, they would Disney have wanted to buy
I doubt it.
No. Well, they might have bought it anyways because it does have so many characters and storylines.
Buying Marvel was a savvy move, especially at the time, before they had Star Wars. It does shore up the demographic they've always been weakest with.
Exactly.
That being said, they were looking for that property.
But I do think that the Marvel movies being a success on their own before Disney got them was the prerequisite for them.
Oh, yeah.
Larry is simply saying that he thinks it was a sweet synergy with RDJ getting the role that he got.
I do agree.
And demanding the role that
Iron
he got.
Iron Man would not have been the success it was if not for Downey Jr. being just...
I read the other day that John Krasinski of The Office fame was originally planned to be Captain America. And that so hurts me. I'm like, damn, I'm glad they went with the guy they went. Hindsight and everything, but
they have really killed it with all of their big castings.
Oh, they really have. Are we back to raving about that movie?
No, I think we are.
I think we are.
Let's pump the brakes. Okay, back to Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, Free Comic Book Day.
The other point of Free Comic Day, other than the big two kind of pimping their summer events, is the smaller people kind of giving us free ads.
I don't think DC came out with anything.
They had Suicide Squad.
They did a reprinted Suicide Squad. Which was the first... Harley on the cover, first one gone.
First issue of the New 52 Suicide Squad that came out 5 or 6 years ago.
It was okay.
I did see they had an Earth 2 Batman thing, right?
Did they?
No, that was actually for me. That was Earth 1. So what he's commenting on, a book that not everybody had, only we had here.
Oh.
We had 25 titles that other places weren't giving away.
I forgot that I have been spoiled by the
generosity
of Comic City, too.
We really did have
the best offer in town, we were giving away the most diverse titles.
Yeah, you did.
Other stores had talent, but I heard that did not go over as well as some of the store owners had hoped with the talent they had on location.
There was a lot of... from a business point of view... there is two new, quote, comic book stores opening. And I use quote, there's one that was the collector that is opening a store selling his collection, basically.
Yeah. And he's not buying any new stuff.
I don't know. I haven't talked to him. I haven't met him.
I've seen him on Facebook.
He spent a ton on radio promotions.
Oh, I didn't hear any of
that.
I didn't either.
That sucks.
A lot of people. I don't know if we're talking about the same place.
We may not.
You know that they paid somebody with the Mystery Machine to drive around and everything.
Okay,
I heard them advertising on the radio. Apparently,
right? The radio and showing up in the Facebook feed.
Where's this guy been?
I heard that from a lot of customers.
My bad.
It's okay.
I was zoning.
Well, he wasn't paying attention to where I was talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm deliberately avoiding saying their names.
Yeah, we don't want to throw anybody.
I'm not trying to attach a positive or a negative opinion to a store I've never been into.
Sure.
Nor am I trying to plug the competition.
Yeah, that's fair.
Then now there was another smaller person that opened up and sells mostly games and sells
that dude I definitely know.
In your hometown.
Yeah.
But I didn't hear any stirring from
the Republic of Hendersonville, the Soviet Republic of Hendersonville.
Soviet Republic.
It's a police state.
Well, I can't say this, Larry.
But
I wouldn't say Soviet.
Then there was our friends over in Donaldson. They hired all the talent and everything.
Fascist would be a better.
Then, of course, there's the record stores that also sell comics.
They didn't have anybody. They didn't have talent.
No, they didn't have talent. But that they also do a lot of print advertising.
Yes.
But the Hendersonville guy and the Franklin guy, they weren't here last year. So I don't know if that affected anybody's numbers. I'm sure the guy that hired the talent.
Well, only you would know if it affected your numbers. You know, I'm just saying, well, you're not going to get their numbers. I'm just saying.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I know my projections were off.
Mm.
If we were to take the growth of the industry we've had in sales, which has spiked over the first since the first of the year.
Yeah.
But,
and compare last year's Free Comic Book Day to this year.
The amount of growth that we had wasn't the same as the growth of the rest of the sales. But it was a consistent same year-over-year percentage growth.
Next on Wall Street Journal podcast.
Overall, we did a better Free Comic Book Day than we had ever done before.
Awesome. Well, that's good to hear, man.
And now, I projected us to do another $1,500.
Oh.
Based on our average sales growth.
Okay.
So that disappointed me. But
it was great, but not as great as Wall Street had predicted. Nice analysis had predicted.
So my projections were off, and that made me sad.
Stocks are going down.
But the event itself, I consider it a success because it was a good day.
Yeah,
and everybody I heard come in and say anything about it, anybody that had been to another store said we were better.
Awesome.
And they loved it. I mean,
yeah.
I
think nobody else was giving away more than 5 books. We were giving away 7.
Yeah.
I went out and bought.
What are you doing?
I had bought 24 Zenoscope titles, and then I had a couple other titles that from previous events and other stuff I was giving away.
Yeah.
And then I had titles that you could get by hitting a certain purchase level. You got a bonus title.
Yeah.
And I had other promotions, but, so I didn't do any big autograph signings or anything like that.
And does that really bring more people in? I don't think so. I think people who are going to go get an autograph, they're going to go get free books.
It brings people to your location.
Oh, okay. You're saying they may have go to another shop. Okay, I see what you're saying.
I mean, a lot of people.
Depends on who the name is.
Yeah.
You know, sure. Went from here to there. Or there's people that go to all of them.
Yeah.
So it gets you into the door. And so I knew the hardcore people were going to come here anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even without the big names, it's always cool to see the cosplayers.
Yes. Well,
I definitely had a good group of cosplayers.
I was about to mention, I read on Facebook a group of the cosplayers who were here for a while, and then they said they left, and they went to another shop, and then they came back, because that shop was a no-go. It was no fun. They came back here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So. Yeah.
Nice.
A good group of them.
Well, I do know, can I say who was here, at least one of them?
Who, what?
I don't know the guy's name.
Cosplayer?
Well, I don't know the guy's name or nothing like that, but...
We had a Spider-Man, we had a Spider-Gwen, we had a Captain America,
we had a really Hawkeye. Nice suit up.
Does the guy who dressed up as Captain America also have a very good Judge Dredd? It's not him.
No. But he was a very good Captain America.
Judge Dredd lives in Montana.
I'm friends with him on Facebook. I saw where he moved away.
But he left his costume.
I know. He's going to have that shipped.
No, I think he's just not getting it.
Did he bequeath it to some, like...
Nobody else is going to fit in that thing. If you've ever seen
well,
this
Well, yeah,
dude,
no. So,
he's built like
his,
fucking,
I believe yeah, his man. His former paramour bequeathed it to somebody that may have to grow a few feet to wear it. But,
So That's
weird.
Well, I mean,
so you got to be this jacked.
I mean, well, because the guy we had the guy that dressed up in Judge Dredd was like 6 feet tall.
He's taller than that. I'm just about 6 feet, dude. Yeah, he was taller than me.
So the person that I think is now in possession is maybe 5 feet. It's like,
he's
got
to get some lifts in his shoes.
There might be some alterations needing to be made.
I remember you used to put newspaper in your shoes.
That
is the Smithsonian.
It keeps coming up.
I can almost quote the movie line for line. I only watched it once.
Ugh.
That's how good it is.
Need to go
but
with
yeah,
the second
stinks. Right. That stinks.
But,
because that was a cool guy. I like that guy a lot. He's very fun. It's not... Why you always roll your eyes like I'm saying something, like, perverted or something? We had fun conversations. He was very interested in a lot of the same things I was interested in.
I was
in.
Just trying to steer the conversation, give you a subtle, non-audio tint that this is not appropriate.
You can't be subtle.
I didn't think this was an appropriate way for this to go. Due to the nature of a large portion of our audience having personal...
Sure.
Interactions with this.
Sure.
And the nature in which those interactions ended.
Sure, sure. So, yeah, what else was on Free Comic Book Day?
Well, as far as the comics itself go, I enjoyed a lot of sort of the small market, like, kind of advertisement stuff. And there's a few things I'm seriously considering getting. Like, I showed you that thing earlier. It's just called The Cloud.
Oh, by Boom Studios.
It reminds me of the art style they used in The Arrival. I don't know if it's the same artist or anything.
I'm not sure either.
That's the story. It's kind of like, it's a wordless comic about immigrant experience.
Okay.
It's a good book. I recommend
it. I bet.
But The Cloud looks interesting, and something called Fantasy Sports, which looks stupid but awesome, and I'm considering getting that when that comes out.
I got my kid the Korra one. I think there was a One Punch Man that I knew he would like.
Oh, I missed that one.
I got my wife Love and Rockets because I know she's into that. She really likes the art there.
I saw Love and Rockets. I'm like, I shouldn't get this because that's like a gateway to like a lot of money I have to spend on all
it is.
Dude. Same reason I don't like do gateways into Invincible or into Walking Dead, actually.
Yeah. But there, I read the Civil War one. There was another one that I really liked.
There was one called Hilda, which I was surprised
I
liked. I
can't remember what it was.
A lot of the stuff I read was like kind of like all ages.
Sure.
Like, it had a nice charm to it.
Drawn and Quarterly did one called Moon Cop.
No, I didn't get that.
Grant Morrison did this one.
ROM!
Yeah,
ROM was great. Why didn't you mention ROM on this Free Comic Book Day discussion?
Damn it, Adam.
I just did.
Dude, it was really good.
It was okay.
For a ROM book? We haven't had a ROM book in 20 years.
For a free okay, so now you're adding the quality.
It was pretty great. Oh, man. It was really cool. I'm excited for ROM number one. I really am. It was fun.
Speaking of things that haven't been around in 20 years, I just got told by GW they are relaunching Hero Quest.
Really?
You're kidding.
Okay.
May 21st.
And Larry was mad.
Oh, wow.
Upset
so that's like
with me because
2 weeks
I have no clue.
Right. I mean, it's just like, really? You're bringing back, like, a cult classic board game?
Short notice.
And you didn't let me know till now?
Is Fireball Island coming back, too? Because that was my favorite.
I don't know.
It's a real thing.
Dude,
yes, it
is. Awesome.
It's like Indiana Jones, the board game. You go around
that does
and
sound
it's
pretty
just
cool.
Like. Instead of a boulder, it's a fireball that rolls through.
And if you rolled like a certain thing, you got to flip one of them and hit your opponent, and he would have to move back.
That does sound really.
And it was it was like a pressed plastic thing.
Is that like
was
a nightmare
awesome.
For setup?
No, okay. No.
Yeah,
it was
Hero
for kids.
Quest
it was,
was such a
it was
good
a to it.
Such a good D&D experience in the board game that TSR at the time tried to copy it.
Was that what they were playing in E.T.? Was that Hero's Quest, or was that actual D&D?
I don't remember.
I thought that was
in the first scene when they send Elliot to get the pizza.
I thought that was D&D they was
playing. I'm not sure, because it was a weird board they had.
Right.
So I was never sure.
There was so, yeah.
I was never
but
sure.
But the Dungeon Quest game.
I love E.T.
Wasn't nearly
I cried in that movie, too.
But, so that made me excited. Hero Quest is coming back. And it's coming back under the European name Warhammer Quest, which Warhammer was more known. That's
sure.
who designed the game.
Yeah.
They released it in America via Milton Bradley.
Yeah.
But
well, cool.
Yeah, so I was excited about that.
I'm excited about that.
I missed it when it came out the first time. Sorry.
I mentioned that we got Betrayal on the house on the hill or whatever.
That's a great game.
We played through it once. It was very, very fun.
What story did you get?
We got the Ghost Bride. Or
I never played
that
one.
It was
See,
good.
That's the cool thing about it is there's like 50 different scenarios.
Yeah, so you
in
never
it.
Know. Yeah.
So
and expansion packs.
I played
so
the game.
Go through all the stories.
I played
even
the game
if you go through them though,
times.
There's different outcomes.
Yeah.
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 I played the game 3 times. I'm not even close to experiencing all of it.
Yeah. So. And I want to play it again, but hey, you guys want to play a game? It was Mother's Day this weekend, you know, whenever. And my wife is just the biggest Ticket to Ride fan. Did you hear our gaming podcast that we had?
Ticket to Ride.
We talked about a bunch of board
yes,
games.
It yes, it is.
Yeah. And she's just a huge fan of that, and I whipped her ass. And
I'm
so happy.
I'm lousy at that game.
I'm
like
so glad
it,
I whipped
I
her ass.
I
just
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
The trick to Ticket to Ride.
Chicago to L.A. What up?
Right.
So now that we're done with this marital advice of going.
me, I always
I've been happily
go
married
with the
for,
strategy
for
of you know, getting the card side like.
I'm happy. I don't know about her.
Usually before I claim my first route, I have enough trains to claim all my route. You know, train.
Oh,
I have a stack.
You get tickets first?
I've actually only played tickets
Not always. I'll get my. I'll collect almost all the train cards I need.
Oh, and then go.
Yeah. Right. Play them all. I let everybody else kind of start their stuff.
I'm afraid someone's going
to
get in
the
front
one time
of me.
I played Ticket to Ride, I managed to win a desperation game bet at the end where I'm just like, well, crap, I'm just going to buy up all these cards and hopefully get a lucky
get some
one.
Tickets.
And I did.
Yeah.
And I already have this one.
My son plays it every time. At the end, he's like, nope, I'm going to draw some more. And then he'll put, nope. And then he's like, okay.
Well,
put these
I knew
trains.
I wasn't going
he still
to
loses.
Catch.
Well, you know, you still, long. You know, you have to keep at least one no matter what.
Yeah, right. One no matter what. Yeah, right. Yeah. But yeah, he'll keep that one and be like, okay, and then, but he'll just do that. You know what I mean?
So my thought is, if you are the first one to claim routes, you are revealing
where you're going,
and weaknesses.
Well, there's always, but so are you. When you start laying your trains, you're doing the same thing. You're just saying, but I already know where I'm going, and I'm going to get there faster.
But I am able to use your information
to stop you.
So if you collect, lay.
But the problem with that
is... If I can lay.
Yeah.
If you cut me off...
Yeah.
I adjust before I've laid my first track.
But, okay, you say you adjust... But you have to get to a certain area, right? You have to get to a certain location.
Right, and there's 10 million ways to get to there.
Exactly. So you might say, all right, I cut you off from getting to Chicago, and that's like, oh, that's cool. I'll go through Alberta. I'll just pick up these whites.
But, right,
he may get those whites
already,
and be able to get to Alberta.
But I'm saying is, if you're cut off once you're already there, you've already spent those resources. I may not need... You cut me off, and I may no longer need these 5 cards, but I can use them somewhere else.
But those,
I can use them for a neutral. I can.
But those resources have still counted towards their point total. And by you forcing them to take a different path, you may be unintentionally giving them opportunity to get even more point
right,
total.
Right, well, no, I'm not forcing them to take a different path.
If you block them, you are.
No, what I'm saying is, if you block me... You know, you don't have a chance to block me.
Oh, okay, I
understand. He's already
planned ahead.
And that's fine if someone doesn't block you while you're waiting to get your cards. That's the depth of this game, though.
Right,
that's why it's such a
popular
game.
If somebody blocks me while I'm getting my cards, I still have the cards to go towards an alternate route.
Gotcha.
He's planned ahead is what it is.
But you're also still building.
Right.
And while you're
building my hand,
you might be
not
building,
on the board.
But you might be building towards yellow, and then someone's like, all right, I'm going to take this yellow one. And you're like, damn, I was building there. Now you have to readjust. It's just a different time. You have to readjust.
Right, but what I'm saying, once you've claimed a route, those resources are lost.
Exactly.
If you have to readjust and the resources are still in your hand,
but your wild card.
You're not lost.
You get to keep your wild card for what you want to choose it for. I understand your
strategy.
Well,
not even that. There's other yellow spots.
True.
You know, there's other spots of that color.
But there's
two
or three ways into any one city. And if those are, if it's red, blue, and yellow to get in there and you're getting white, you're not getting into that city.
But there's also blind draw.
Sure.
And
that's what makes this such a deep game.
You know, we have a podcast explicitly devoted to board games.
We do.
And that y'all do not include me, who's probably played more board games than all
you
of
gotta
you.
You got to speak to AKA David about that. That's his show.
Yeah.
That podcast?
He does it here.
Yeah.
He's playing weird games.
No, he's playing games that he's not talking about board games.
He's just playing them.
He's playing...
Yeah.
You want to hear me play Ticket to Ride?
No.
I draw two cards. Go.
But what kind of podcast?
20 minutes later.
What kind of podcast can you do? I guess
that's
just talking about
the
game.
I've talked to AKA David.
Love that.
These are the kind of games that would sound good for an audio podcast.
That cat game they played was awesome.
Right, so that's why they're playing those weird games, is because there's a lot of audio in them. For something like Ticket to Ride, you'd have to have a camera involved.
Is that that wasn't the debate game, the cat one?
No, the debate one was super fun.
Dude, that is so cool, too. Like, you draw these cards, right? And whoever wins from the last round stays, and so then dude draws a new card. He draws a person
and
an ability.
I've been in on a couple
of those.
Yeah.
And then the table debates who would win.
So I pick one, really and you know, and Gomer picks one. Like, say, I draw Chuck Norris with a chainsaw, and he draws
Gomer Fudd.
With a Buick. Yeah, exactly.
And really, it's like that.
And then I state my opinion. This is why Chuck Norris would win with his chainsaw.
First off, anybody who pulls Chuck Norris automatically wins. So that
depends on who they go up against.
Depends on the group you're playing with.
Who's a Bruce Lee?
Are you playing with the group of people who are like actually...
Chuck Norris is counted to infinity. Twice.
He's been to the end of the internet twice, too.
His tears cure cancer, but he's never cried.
Too bad he's never cried, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't read books. He stares them down if they give him the information he wants. Yeah, we could do this for a while.
He doesn't do push-ups. He pushes the wall down.
Are you playing with a group of people who are actually going to, like, debate out the real thing, or are they just going to use internet Chuck Norris, who's, you know, invented?
Exactly, yeah. You have to do the weird thing. Chuck Norris is actually an 80-year-old feeble man who lives in Texas. There you go. Yeah.
Well, you know,
everybody's feeble.
He still has that.
If you judge him on the scale of 80-year-olds, he's probably, pretty tough.
You compare him with other 80-year-olds, sure, he's the greatest 80-year-old ever.
As an 80-year-old man, he is in much better shape than I will ever be in.
Oh, there you go. Okay, me too. I'll give you
he's
that.
He's still a little fragile if you hit him right.
If
still,
you hit him.
Yeah. He's past his prime, guys. Yeah. Just let that one go.
But that's a cool game, Super Fight.
That sounds like a really fun game.
Yeah. But I couldn't play that with my kids because they were like, duh, I don't know, because he's cool. You know, they're just not old enough. You have to be.
Man, way to throw
you.
You
got
to
know some of the.
Showing your kids to us there.
Well, they're just young. Not that my kids are dumb. They're just young.
They just don't know the people.
Okay, who here is.
Damn it, Taylor. Aren't you a teacher?
Watch the newest ERB. I'm curious.
What?
The newest rap battle. Yeah. Tolkien versus George R. R. Martin.
Yeah.
Who won? Fun. I'm curious everybody's opinion.
I'm going to go with Tolkien.
I'm going with Tolkien too, yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I see it. I thought Tolkien won.
It's Tolkien.
Okay, that seems to be the popular opinion that Tolkien won.
I prefer the rap battles where a third party shows
up. There are some where it's hard to debate one way or the other.
A twist. Yeah. I like my rap battles with a twist.
There are some where it's just anyone who disagrees with the consensus.
Eastern philosophers against the Western philosophers?
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
I don't remember that one well enough to know who I thought was.
What is winning?
I will say that, Newton clearly beat Bill Nye.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Weird Al beat whoever that was. Snoop Dogg. Okay. But then Snoop Dogg as Moses clearly beat whoever that was Santa.
They kind of seem to rig it in that direction.
Some of them.
But it's for entertainment. Well, Newton was probably a pretentious asshole. Bill Nye seems like he could have tea. I could have tea with Bill.
Well, which one would I rather hang out with? Yeah, certainly Bill Nye.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
As far as scientific contribution,
I think Newton was a pretentious asshole.
Okay, it's a pretty short list of people whose contributions could match Isaac Newton.
Yeah, sure.
But as far as the rap battle goes, Newton only won because Bill Nye had to bring in help.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, and again, it was Weird Al.
Yeah.
But right. Well, and, I mean, you know, as musically speaking, yes, it was Weird Al. God bless Weird Al.
And technically, Bill Nye isn't really even a scientist. He's an engineer. He's got honorary doctorates in science. Right. But technically, I'm just saying.
Science guy.
Well, yeah.
He doesn't need an official council-approved scientist moniker.
Don Herbert, Mr. Wizard, wasn't an actual wizard either. So I'm just saying.
Whatever. But, The worst epic rap battle I can ever remember is probably Captain Kirk versus Christopher Columbus.
Oh yeah. That's just silly.
They were going for the joke about Kirk's speech pattern.
Yeah,
it made the thing
unlistenable.
It was horrible to listen to.
It was difficult.
They overdid that joke.
I didn't like it either.
Okay, we get it.
I didn't like that either.
Some of my favorites was. Bill Gates versus Steve Jobs.
Yeah, that was okay.
I thought that was good.
I very much enjoyed Gandhi versus MLK.
Yeah, that was really good.
That had Key and Peele in it.
I like that. Well, that's why I liked it, I think, because it was all theirs, you know?
Yeah. And
there's certain things that some comedians can't get away with. Those guys can pretty much get away with anything, even making fun of Martin Luther King and Gandhi.
Yeah,
and they did it, and it was great. So yeah.
Did you ever see the sketch they did of the guy who had to talk after MLK after the address? So
How am I supposed to follow that?
So, funnily enough, he said everything I was going to say.
Yes.
You just don't follow.
Yes.
I'm not saying he was, you know, stole from my speech.
Yeah, that's great.
Does anybody, y'all watch the superhero beatdown?
I've seen it, but I don't watch it regularly.
No.
Fighting show of choice is Death Battle, but Superhero Beatdown is pretty good.
Right. Yeah.
I haven't seen Death Battles.
Death Battles are better, I would say.
Yeah.
One thing I like about Death Battles, they actually like rationalize who would win. Superhero Beatdown is fan votes.
Right. Yeah.
So that's just the popular character
win.
Let's go.
Let's
go. I'm going home.
All right. It is probably time to wrap it up.
I'm hungry.
Yeah. Those races one between Iron Man and Optimus Prime was really cool, though.
Yeah, it was cool.
I also enjoyed. I enjoyed most of the episodes I've seen, but like I do prefer like actually coming up with a reason.
Explaining it.
So logic. All right, and
wrapping back up to the final Free Comic Book Day thing, and your final thought.
I've got to try to focus on my final thought so I don't forget it by the time it comes over here.
Pressure's on.
AKA David asked me to do it, so I got to
don't make an ass out of yourself.
From Free Comic Book Day, what are you looking forward to because of it?
The only thing from Free Comic Book Day that I'm looking forward to would be Rom.
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 It's easy. That's my answer, too. Rom.
Yeah. But my final thought is apparently Cap 3 is really, really awesome. Everybody should go see it. And since I took it, none of you guys can take that as your final thought. You actually got to come up with something.
Oh, he's right.
You can have that victory because we've all seen it. So.
Yeah. Dude, you're going to love it.
You will.
You're going to go see it this week.
You need to go see it.
You will.
No matter what.
I might pull a Gomer.
I wouldn't blame you for doing it.
Not
going
to see it until it comes out on Blu-ray.
I did it with Star Wars, and I regretted it. I did. Once I saw it, I was like, damn, I really should have found time to go see it.
It was something that needed to be seen.
It really was. You said that. And I admit, you were right, Taylor.
Oh, thanks, man.
You have it on tape, too. It's going to have this new ringtone. You were right, Taylor.
No, I'm not even happy about this. I genuinely feel bad for you that you didn't get to go see it in
theaters. Well, I've seen it like two dozen times now.
But not
so.
In theaters.
Sure.
It was something to see in theaters. Like, sitting there on the opening night. Like,
kid kicking your seat.
No, dude, when I was there and they played the music and like it comes up on screen, I don't... I was so elated.
It brought you back.
It
brought you back.
Personally...
Even though I didn't like the movie, but...
Could have lived without seeing it in theaters.
Screw you, Larry.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What's your final thought, T?
The Free Comic Book Day question, there's several that are on my radar now that I never would have heard of otherwise.
Good. It's good for the market overall.
Yeah, fantasy sports thing they're talking about. The Hilda thing I read was pretty charming.
The Cloud.
I'm probably going to get The Cloud. I thought that looked very intriguing.
That's on Boom Studios. Look for that this summer, I think they said.
Yep.
Yeah.
Final thought, though. They recently revealed the starters for the upcoming Pokemon game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I missed that.
It's like a grass owl, a fire cat, and a clown seal water type.
Oh, that's cool.
So it looks
the basic.
It looks pretty cool, and like there's already like 5 billion pieces of fan art when it was. This happened yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And there's already a preposterous amount of fan art out there.
Those folks love it. Pokemon fans
I'm in a bit of a box,
coolest,
though,
man.
Because I usually get the fire type, but the legendary looks like it's a fire type, and I don't want both. I mean, that's redundant.
Yeah.
Damn you, Game Freak.
Oh. Steve, go ahead.
Free Comic Book Day, I can't tell you what I'm looking forward to. I haven't read any of them.
Well, that's good.
I pretty much set up on everything.
Yeah.
I loved what Larry did here at the store.
It was great, man.
It was great.
It was awesome. Such a good time.
He had stuff that my wife is definitely going to enjoy.
Yeah.
To say the least. So the prints, she's going to love it. For my final thought is, I don't know if this has been brought up much that I recall, but I'm actually looking forward to the new Voltron series coming out on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. The big trailer today, the full trailer. They did have a little... teaser of it.
Teaser.
It looks great.
I look forward to that.
I'm excited about it too.
What are we talking about?
The Netflix Voltron relaunch series.
Voltron.
It looks really interesting.
Yes,
now that you have internet.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah, you get some Netflix.
There you go.
I need to get on Netflix.
The Netflix.
I need to get on Netflix.
I love flicking my
How do you chill without Netflix, dude? What is going on? My final thought, Rom, for the Free Comic Book Day question. It looks great. The first issue was wonderful. The Zero issue, I'm ready for the series. My final thought, we have a lot of convention coverage on OutrageGeekery.com this weekend. Motor City Comic Con in post-apocalyptic Detroit.
So Detroit?
Yeah, so Detroit.
Take that, Detroit.
Fanboy Expo here in the Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. We got full coverage of both. My dude, who's going for OutrageGeekery.com to the Motor City Comic Con, is freaking out. He's got like a list of like 15 people who are going to be there.
Good freak out, or
yeah,
freak
it's
out.
Good freak out.
Okay,
nice. And he's like, I want to get questions for all of these people, but I know I'm only going to talk to like 3 or 4 of them. But I have to be ready. And he's like, take like the whole week off,
nice,
so he can prepare and be all ready. Yeah, he's super stoked, and I'm just so happy that I can make him happy. You know, it really, because we wouldn't otherwise be able to go. And all it is for me is an email.
Yeah, I mean, we are based out of Middle Tennessee.
I can't go to Detroit.
It's a nice long drive.
As much as we would like to go everywhere and do everything, we are limited by geography.
And cash flow, man. And cash flow.
Well, that being said, there are people who review movies that get flown out there from Nashville. A friend of a friend got flown from Nashville to the LA premiere.
Oh, wow. Someday. We got something to... We're getting better all the time. Isn't that what is it? We're getting better.
And we've got like 8.
Someday we'll be there.
We've got like 8 and we're getting better.
Don't worry. Someday people may buy your opinion.
They are. We're doing fine. We're doing just fine. Thank you very much.
I don't know if you're paying attention, but we're getting better.
We're getting better.
Going up.
But, I think that's my final thought. Stay tuned to Outright Geekery for interviews, news. Hopefully we'll get some breaking news, and definitely a crap ton of cosplay.
What did you think of Weavers? Did you read that?
I did read Weavers. It was exactly as it was promoted. Sopranos meets H.P. Lovecraft. It was a little bit too much Sopranos in this first issue, you know, compared to the Lovecraft. Art in it was definitely the best part. Tons of potential, but a pretty okay. I don't want to shit all over it because you did do so much, and I'm not going to shit over it because it was a quality book. But
it's hard to tell sometimes with the first issue.
It needs to pick up. I think once the first arc is completed, I'll know fully, you know, whether I'm going to be on board the series or not. But yeah, the art is worth the price of admission alone. $3 book, right?
$4
book. It's still worth it for the art. Still worth it for the art. And the potential that it might, you know, be something better than it is. There was like a gang boss in there who was the most Lovecraftian sort of character in there. He was my favorite part. So
issue one has you coming back for issue 2?
Sure, definitely. Okay, that's the only job of the creators, is to get me back for the next issue. So yeah, they definitely, you know, I see the potential there, and I'm interested to see what happens next. So yeah, definitely, pick up Weavers. Simon Spurrier. And I'm blanking on the artist. You kind of caught me off guard. I'm blanking on the artist. But either way, Simon Spurrier is enough to pick it up. And it doesn't matter what the artist's name is. It's great. A rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
All right.
Stop pretending like you're classy.
I'm not pretending. I'm classy because I quoted from a single Shakespeare thing. Shakespeare isn't even classy anymore. Trash.
Shakespeare wasn't classy back
then. Trash. Look at the teacher over here saying.
I mean, honestly, it was kind of marketed as the pulp writer of the day, you know. I mean,
yeah.
They didn't have TV, they had plays.
That's right.
I mean, he cranked out how many plays?
Oh, a lot.
Too many.
And some sonnets, too.
Yeah, I mean, we probably don't even know about most of them.
I like the whole conspiracy theory behind Shakespeare's identity. I love that. Like, well, they're not really sure who it was, or it might have been.
David Tennant about that.
And that's definitely a theory, conspiracy theory.
Well, they asked David Tennant about that on a talk show recently. And
really?
I don't care. I mean, the important thing is the plays.
Dude, that's exactly
right. Well,
it doesn't matter who wrote it, the plays themselves.
Well, they did that episode of Doctor Who where they went back and Shakespeare went both ways. And he makes the joke. There's hundred of literary professors, scholars, going, ha ha, I told you right now. You know?
Yeah.
Shakespeare.
And there's also a comic coming out called Merry Men, which is about Robin Hood, but it's the base of the theory, the literary theory that Robin Hood is based on such and such person.
William Wallace?
No.
That's some of the stories. Well, there's I'm just asking.
All right, no.
Yes.
Like Mel Gibson.
What? Yes.
But he was
Robin Hood was based off of William Wallace.
No, but there is, well, they don't know who Robin Hood was based off of, but there is speculation.
There is speculation.
That perhaps some of the William Wallace story is what fed into the Robin Hood story.
Well, right, I right. Don't, no, no, but don't the, know. The actual.
Ask a Scott, that's what he'll tell you.
Well, yeah, but Robin Hood's an English character.
Yeah, so, another yeah. thing the English stole
into, like,
from
British
him.
Literary conspiracy.
And that's exactly what they'll say.
Maybe it's time to wrap.
Yeah, let's wrap, dude. I'm
so but what I was going to say, it's about that Robin Hood was actually a lover of King Richard, and when homosexuality was outlawed, him... He was ran out of the woods, him and a bunch of other
merry
homosexual
men. Yeah.
Merry men.
Because we're
that,
men.
Yeah.
We're men types. Roll
so, I don't know, but that was the selling point of the comic.
Dave Chappelle, early role for Dave Chappelle. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying.
Oh, hey, actually,
that's a classic.
That set is still there out in the woods and up in Northern California.
Oh, the Men in Tights set?
The woods, yeah. Like the place where they built it out in the middle of the woods, yeah. Like in Modesto or something. It's still
all
there.
It's just nasty, though.
Well, I'm
greasy,
sure
grimy.
It's...
I'm sure
it's like deteriorated.
Singing, yeah. We're men.
We're men.
We're raccoons. Oh, man, he's got the...
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I'll be here next week, too.
Yeah, I found that the other day.
Cool.
But yeah. Did we?
But,
is there like a boo button? You should have.
There
played.
Is.
You should have hit that when Gomer said I'll be here next week.
No, that's
that works.
Cry.
There we go. Dude, I want to like have that ready, like for when you walk into the shop and then you're like, "Hey guys, boo!" Sound effects.
But we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Check us out in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie's.
Oh, you got it again.
OutrightGeekery.com, ComicCity2.com, or find us on Facebook.
And all those places.
And Twitter and Tumblr and everywhere else.
All right, I'm leaving.
All right, jeez.